Welcome back, everybody, to the Overdunk Podcast, your favorite competitive Pokemon Unite podcast. My name is Zoinks, joined as always by Bridget, but today we have a very special guest joining the Overdunk Podcast for the first time. Definitely not new to the Unite Mike's channel, but welcome, caster extraordinaire, all the way from across the pond. We got Relic, co-founder of Battle Hub, voice on the mic of all the EU broadcasts this year. Welcome to the show, Relic. How you doing?
Governor, I'm doing... No, just for the stereotype. I'm doing good.
You know what's... Okay, no, right. Full pause. You know what's funny?
Oh, no.
Is that gag... You actually sounded less British to me. Like, genuinely, like you lost the accent for a moment, and now you have it back. That's wild. But anyway, welcome to the show.
Fair enough. Oh, dude, I'm so happy to be here. I've waited an eternity for this. I'm so excited. Mm-hmm. Really, really interesting place that we find Unite in at the moment. And, of course, EUIC next week. So what's not to be excited about?
I know. Yeah, it's so funny. Normally, we brand these episodes as just like our big event pre-show. We talk about all the team storylines. But, like, today... We have a ton of stuff to talk about. We got Pokemon Day, like, right around the corner here at the end of the month. And with that, we got a mobile game, so the leaks don't get patched up. There is data mines galore to be talking about. We got so much stuff, honestly, coming towards the game, which is really exciting. We got new Pokemon releases, new game modes, new items, everything, and all that and more. And, of course, we got EUIC to talk about, which is literally going to be happening not this weekend, but the following if you're watching this live. So it is going to be a absolute jam-packed episode. Bridget, I want to put the pilot seat in front of you for a second. What do you want to talk about first? Out of all of the... Let's start with the new stuff. New stuff's exciting. Let's start with that with the top of the show. Let's talk data mines first. Where do you want to start?
At first, I was like, did you really just ask me and then decide for yourself what you nope. the topic was going to be? I'm like, that's
that
crazy.
That is par for the course, but no, that is not what I did.
You told me to pick from the data mines. I think we should talk about the new mons from the data mines first, because I think that is... the most exciting to me.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, for everybody who is new to the game of Pokemon Unite, shout out to all two of you, our new additions to this game. We do have some new Pokemon. Every Pokemon Day, we usually have some kind of legendary Pokemon being added to the game, or mythical, but just genuinely very exciting kind of release added to the game. Mew and Hoopa in days of past, but now we are adding Suicune into the roster, all-rounder by class, but with some of the gameplay footage, we're starting to see more attacker by feel. Feels very special attacker mage-oriented with a more brawly-focused Unite move. It's going to be a really interesting Pokemon in that variety, but from the gameplay footage, it at the very least looks incredibly strong. Quick details of the Pokemon, it really... one of the first terrain setters that we kind of have. And I mean that not exactly in the way Pokemon would define terrain, where we have like electric terrain or something like that with Maridon, more like MOBA terrain. We add like watery areas to the map, and then we have the option to freeze those watery areas. And if targets are in the water or in what the game calls drenched, I just assume covered in water, the freeze effects will have different kind of mechanics. But basically, Suicune having two ice moves in one of its move slots and two water moves in the other slot. And you kind of got to use those combos together to hit targets first, slow them, and then double down with its icy attack. Gonna be really interesting. It's got a passive that does let it execute frozen targets, but it seems to be a little timid on the amount of execute damage we have. But anyway, I dumped a lot of details on what this Pokemon's looking like. Relic, I know you got to see a little bit of footage or just what the community's been talking about this Pokemon so far. So what are your thoughts on our first peeks in at what Suicune can do?
You know, I'm going to keep the optimism rolling. Love it.
Cool.
Really like the look of its kit. I think it is really unique. I think that A9 and Mamoswine Stonks are going through the roof. The synergy with those two is going to be incredible, given that, at least from how I understand it, it's any freeze, which means that if you are frozen under A9 or if you are frozen under Mamoswine, that execute from pressure, its passive, can also be utilized, which is really cool. I'm glad they haven't gone the full way to say any water attack leaves you drenched, because otherwise you got water comps are going through the roof, right?
Yes.
That starts to get a little bit out of hand. But yeah, I think it looks really cool. I think that it doesn't look too mobile, which is, I think that's all right. It means that there is a flaw in how it works. Mm-hmm. I like that it's ranged all rounder. I know people are getting bored of them. I know. but I'm sitting here as an all-rounder main. I'm pretty happy. The only thing I ask is,
life's good for us.
Yeah, I mean, literally, just don't give it EX credentials. Like, make sure it's balanced, and I'm happy with this. It looks really cool.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. So, legendary Pokemon being added to the game, obviously, we have abandoned the EX title long ago, but it doesn't have an EOS energy mechanic like a lot of the other legendary Pokemon do. However, this Suicune is a legendary class Pokemon, but much like Urshifu, it was never considered an EX title despite having that in-game tag. So, yeah, an interesting definition of this Pokemon. Unite always blends those lines a little bit, but hey, another Poke and Pokemon out of the game. Bridget, how about you? Your thoughts on seeing this Pokemon?
Well, when it was first announced, I was kind of like, Zacian 2, like, I don't know if I'm interested in this. Another dog, I don't know, or I guess he's a beast. I don't know the semantics of the guy's origin, but after watching the gameplay, I was like, I'm very surprised at how mid-range, like, it's pretty much entire kit is. I don't know if that's something that will be nerfed eventually, perhaps. Shorter range maybe seems like something. I'm already like, I don't know if it needs all that, but it is like, it feels very A9 to me, obviously, with like the freezes and kind of like the range it seems to get on it, both its movesets. Both of them seem kind of similar, like you were talking about, get to them drenched and then hit them with the freeze and you freeze stuff and yada, yada, yada. So it actually does seem kind of fun to play. I'm actually kind of more curious to play it after watching the gameplay of it. So we'll see in terms of like power scaling. I think pointing out that it doesn't have the best mobility is also hopefully going to be kind of nice.
Yeah, it is going to be interesting Pokemon to fight against, because normally with all-rounders, you could try to kite and space out. That might not always be an option with Suicune. In fact, it might prefer if you try to fight it at range. So we'll see how that actually plays out. We've said quite a few times now that we've watched the video and seen the footage and everything. If anyone is interested on seeing where that can happen, El Chico Eevee has it up on their YouTube channel. And if you want to see Spraggles or Chris Hero's reactions, both of them, of course, have already have YouTube videos up there. If you want to see them react to the move sets of Suicune and kind of talk about what they think it will be in terms of power level and all that kind of stuff. A couple more notes we haven't really mentioned on Suicune yet. It is very combo oriented, which is kind of all-rounder-esque. So I see where that ends up being part of the definition there. The one other thing that it does have that might be incredibly strong is its Unite move does look very, very good. It is a large area of effect where you, I believe the Unite move is called Never Ending Ice Spikes or something like that. It is
cute.
Yeah, it's adorable. It's not their best work, but you know, we'll get a tier list out there eventually. But the craziest part about that Unite move, well, it does cover a good amount of area. It freezes, it does damage, great utility Unite as well as damaging. It also cleanses you completely of any kind of hindrance whatsoever. It is a built-in full heal whenever you use that Unite move. So that's going to be wild. I mean, if you didn't use your United Ray, now it is solely on you. You are to blame if you are not utilizing. Incredibly strong part of that kit. We it could see play in draft because of that alone. Now, it does say, like, nothing can bind it. I don't know if we're talking, like, Slowbro Unite or, like, Dark Bear Unite, like, or Mimikyu, what those kind of things are. But the way it's worded, it seems like it would be able to break out of any of those kind of things. So, yeah, I mean, if I'm playing Suicune, I'm in that Slowbro's face constantly throughout an entire team fight. I ain't leaving. It's going to be kind of my assumption. But either way, I think it looks really cool. I think you mentioned, Bridget, if at first, maybe not the most exciting kind of release, or at least I think on paper, Suicune as a Pokemon is very, very exciting, but the design space definitely of, like, you know, water and ice moves, we kind of have both of those already in Unite in some fashion, so might leave a little bit to be desired, but the way the mechanics actually play out on the map does seem interesting, at the very least, so I'm curious to see the power level. Icy Wind drops ice pillars, which I think would just be funny if Mamoswine just all of a sudden it made its ice pillar move strong again. You know, if we just saw like random like cascades of ice pillars falling over the place, that would be awesome. But I don't know if we're actually going to end up seeing that. But either way, I think really, really cool Pokemon on the horizon in Suicune. We'll obviously talk more about it once it actually hits the game, which should be really soon. It'll probably release on Pokemon Day, likely, right? So the end of the month, we will be looking at this Pokemon.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have facts about that, but I just kind of assumed. But either way, exciting stuff. Let's talk about the second Pokemon that's going to be hitting the game. We have a lot less information on this one, more just text-based data mines. Is that Alolan Raichu might be hitting the game. So finally, my boy Raichu is going to be playable. We were talking a little bit about the Pokemon anime before we started this episode. I've always been a huge Raichu fan. That whole episode where Pikachu's like, I want to win for all Pikachu, I just rolled my eyes all the way into the back of my head whenever that episode was playing.
Not the reaction you're supposed to be having watching
that
episode.
Well, maybe they should have wrote it better or made Raichu less cool. I don't know. Raichu's like the coolest freaking Pokemon. I love Raichu. And like the fact that Pikachu refused to evolve is wildly insane. But either way, I'm so excited Raichu's being added to the game. Not gonna lie, I would have preferred a Kanto version of Raichu into the game, but Alolan Raichu, I get it. It's cuter, likely more popular, and has more design space to work with the psychic typing and moveset in a MOBA. So I guess W's all around, other than I just like Raichu more, but whatever. I think it'll be fun. They gotta give it a shot. We love Chef Holloware in this game, and Alolan Raichu has a Pokedex entries about how much it loves pancakes, so we need a baker or pastry chef Alolan Raichu. Please, that'd be so good. But either way, I'm pretty excited about this Pokemon. Seems cool. Bridget, have you been able to watch any of the footage or released text on this Pokemon yet?
Yeah, it's just the text of the move so far, which it's hard for me. I'm more of a visual person. Like, sometimes reading the move, my brain doesn't really absorb it, so I didn't look too much into the Raichu moveset yet, but it seems like it would maybe be more of like an attacker speedster, probably just get labeled as an all-rounder kind of thing, but based off what I assumed Suicune would be, it was extremely different. So, cool. I'm not sure what it'll be. I love Alolichu. I think it's so cute. That means we're getting another regional mon after just getting Galarian Rapidash, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, that is actually really neat, eh? Three regional variants. I guess... No, Maridon not regional, obviously. Maridon are a Paradox Pokemon, technically?
It's a Paradox Pokemon, kind of.
Pushes glasses further up face.
Idiot.
Okay, fair enough. Relic, have you seen any of the information on the Alolan Raichu yet?
Yeah, feels attacker speedster to me, just looking at the kit and how it works. I like that it leans a lot into the idea of immobilizing or stunning Pokemon with electricity stun rather than the flashbang stun sort of thing that you'd see. I like that it's movement based. It looks like it's boosted autos. Like it moves while you can, or you can use autos while you can move around, and you get a dash as well, which seems honestly really nice. It works into the surfboarding and you know how it's a psychic type and whatnot. I'm with Bridget. I think there's a lot to be determined with Alolan Raichu. What I do know is that we have A9, we have G-Dash, and the opportunity to go for Achu and then a Guzun type joke every time that we say that name.
That's pretty
amazing.
Good.
I'm looking forward to it.
That's great. I'm glad you mentioned the movement, because its move animation is going
to
be awesome in game.
I cannot wait
to see Alolan Raichu surfing, like, especially if it, like, well, I don't know if I want to surf all the time or only in the flux zone. That's interesting. You know, like, when it's going really fast, do I want it to, like, jump up on its tail and move, or do I want that all the time? That's an interesting question.
It's always move, like, surfing on its tail.
That feels like the correct decision, right? If you're given the option of always surf or never, like, always surf seems like the correct way to go. So, yeah. Okay. I'm in. Cool. Alolan Raichu seems cool. We'll obviously talk more about it when maybe we have gameplay footage, but right now it's just a lot of theory crafting. Does seem to be, like, a special attacker, auto attacker kind of mix with a couple of the movesets, which is kind of fun. We don't really have any options like that at the moment. I can't really think of any other than Inteleon's B button being one of the most powerful moves in the game, so maybe that. But for the most part, that'll be that. But okay, new Pokemon coming to the game. Big twist there. Let's Glaceon and Inteleon would kind of count that too. That's a good point, Smim. Okay, let's jump into the next hint at release. We knew this was coming. This was our Pokemon World Championships last year announcement at the 500-point game mode. Well, included with the Pokemon release, of course, with the big news of Psyduck at the time. Is the news that we are getting a new game mode added to the game in the 500-point mode. And it is now in the game files, finally. Should be added to the PTS soon. The game is finally here and will likely be released around the same time as Pokemon Day, which is crazy. Maybe shortly after. We don't know. I mean, if it's been added in-game, we have to imagine it's going to come out very soon. It'll, of course, be on Remote Stadium, which is going to be the same revamped Remote Stadium that just got launched in Season 2 of China's Ranked Game Mode. So you're going to be seeing forms of that. Now, there are still so many question marks surrounding this. Like, even though we have game files literally telling us it's here, it's like, well, we're going to be playing with our roster of Pokemon, which is one way bigger than China's roster of Pokemon. Also, all of our Pokemon work differently. So that'll be interesting. But it does seem like the EOS technology part of that game mode has been taken over. There'll be the big score point thresholds. We've talked about the China mode so many times on this podcast. Like, people understand how it works. Yeah, exactly. We've been laying the groundwork. So exciting stuff there. But I think the big surprise, and still, again, giant question mark, is that one of the pieces of the data mines was that they... somewhere in the game, the text is that Remote Stadium Ranked is going to be a thing again. Now, we don't know exactly what that means. Does it mean 500-point mode will have a ranked game mode? Do we know that will our ranked game mode be swapped out with a Remote Stadium of old or new revamped remote, but not the 500-point mode? Or will we have two ranked queues? Will ranked just change completely to the new game mode? Who knows what iteration it'll end up being in? But let's just go with surface level. We're not getting the China mode as of yet completely in its entirety, but we're getting the cool new game mode. How do we feel about it? My thoughts on this have been abundantly clear the last few episodes. I'm super positive on it. But Relic, how about you? What are you thinking?
So I'm in the camp of, I have not seen what season two looks like. And so I will hold comment on that. But historically, this has actually been something that we've disagreed on. I like the concept of moving to a ranked point mode. I'm actually 100% in that camp. I think that it makes for a way more interesting Unite experience. It aligns more with MOBAs. I know it's a team battler. It aligns more
not
with
on
MOBAs.
This podcast. You can say Pokemon Die over here. It's crazy.
Whoa.
Let's not get too crazy.
We're going to Unite After Dark on Overdunk. We're a real cutting edge show.
Yeah, it's pretty spicy.
But like, you know, my initial concern was how hectic everything was. One of my biggest complaints was, especially with the way, and I think this is less about the mode and more about how the Pokemon work, because the fact that you just blaze through to level 4 in like the first 20 seconds, that basically just makes half of the holloware in the game completely half of it's gone. Like, you don't get to see cute little Sailor Jigglypuff or you know, any of those like purple or above tier holowares. Yeah, like,
you knew where to hit where it hurts, huh? You said Sailor Jigglypuff and we were both like, ooh. Yeah,
right. We'd hate to see it. We'd hate to see it. So as long as there are adjustments to that, so that it perhaps slows things down and makes phasing a little bit more interesting.
Yeah.
Especially looking at that early game in particular. I'm all on board. Now, I would love to see this be a case of they're adding in remote, potentially alongside Thea Sky Ruins. Yeah. I don't think that's going to happen. I would love to see a specific ranked mode for 500 points alongside the regular Thea Sky Ruins. Ooh, the thing is that Timmy has hurt us too many times. And so I can see them going way too heavy-handed with it, just chucking the 500-point game mode at us and say, here, you wanted the China version? Have it. And so, yeah, I'll reserve judgment. But what I will say is that at least we are getting way more from the China version, right? That screams merger or more alignment with the China version, and really that's what everyone is hoping for right now. I'm still holding out for a full re-release at some point in the future. Pokemon Unite EX, and so we can turn that EX.
That was my next question: was what was your name that you were going to choose? We've had
some reunited.
Reunited is good. I've seen a lot of people saying Pokemon Tonight.
Those
are our YouTube comments. So be gentle.
Oh, okay. Well, I love it. Good job, YouTube.
Good job, YouTube.
Get up.
Okay. Bridget, what are your thoughts on all of it? And Relic mentioned likely... Sorry, quick question to clarify from you, Relic. You're saying that you don't think that we will have two different ranked game modes in the game.
My heart says we will have two. We will have the 500-point mode ranked.
Mm-hmm. And separate
from Thayer Sky Ruins that will remain as the regular ranked mode. My head says everything is overridden.
Yeah. Interesting. Whoa. Okay. Wow. Okay, there really are so many options that we have.
Right.
Like, there is like 12 different alignments of how this all could work out. But okay, Bridget, just your thoughts. Go.
Kind of just going off of what Relic said, I feel like in 90 World, yeah, like maybe like two separate ladders for the two separate game modes. I don't think our player base is big enough. I don't think the city is big enough for the both of us, kind of thing. But
I don't think both of us are big enough for the city, I think, in this case, is how that works.
Yeah, okay. you read that. I feel like I think in Timmy's perhaps ideal world that maybe, and this is like my conspiracy theory hat, maybe they've been making our game mode like so bad on purpose that when the 500 point mode drops, we're all like, yes, this is it, like now we're give it to us, you know what I mean? And they're like, then they're like, haha, gotcha, like we all love it, and that's the only thing we play. But I could definitely see what Relic was saying, that I would not be surprised if they were like, ranked is 500 point mode this season. Have fun. But I don't know. I feel like a lot of people use, in the middle of UCS, I would be like pretty surprised if they diverted the path that quickly. I think it might be like a slow roll up. Like, I mean, they said there's going to be a competitive for it though, I guess, in the finals. So that's the only thing that I'm a bit worried about, but I'm like, maybe it'll be like, quick match or casual map first, and then maybe we'll get it on ladder somehow eventually. But
so here's the rub. Here's the rub.
Oh,
I in my ideal mind for our competitive circuit, I'm looking at the health of Unite Championship Series and whatever Asia's got going on, and then eventually the World Championships. I would not want the 500-point mode to become the competitive game mode during the season, and therefore I would not want it to become the mainstay ranked game mode. If it was in two separate queues, fine, but I would not want it to become that space just because it would deny opportunities for pro teams to practice, but it just would dissuade people from being interested in that point of the game and whatever, so on and so forth. So that's like the ideal. The question is this game too far gone that it doesn't matter and we need to make the decision that, like, listen, this game is doing so poorly right now in terms of player base, revenue, everything, that we need something big and brand new, we have to make the change, that this new game mode is the way to play the game. Like, that's the question. Like, that, I am so happy I am not in charge of said question. If I'm being completely honest, I have been a criminal optimist at times. I have been a little too positive about how I think that the game would be doing and everything. And I think in recent months, it is very easy to see the signs of like, listen, people just aren't playing this game anymore. Like, how big of swings do they need to make? Now, optics-wise, I think the best thing is you add this in as an optional game mode. You add events to it. You know, you make maybe a little event pass. You get your stickers, rewards for playing that mode. Gives people a chance to try it out. Maybe even you call it a beta phase or something. Who cares? You just make it a fun little area of the game. And then post-Worlds, that's the first ranked season. After the World Championships, the first ranked season is 500-point mode. That is perfect world. I just don't know if... I don't know. I'm just saying my concerns are we might be past that point of that being an option. But we'll see.
I feel like, I do feel like you're right. Like, we need a hero, you know? Like, cue the music. Like,
yeah.
I just think, I'm kind of at the point where I'm like, do, like, we need the China version. I don't, mm-hmm. I personally, on a personal level, do not even care at the cost. I want the China version. Yes. I want it.
Yeah.
Because I am pretty, like, you know, I like the new releases, but I'm not that hype on, like, yes, let's play, other than when I'm watching UCS, probably.
And that's the other part of that argument, is, like, the best thing going, and I am incredibly biased, but I think a lot of people share the sentiment, is that the best thing going about the current game is the championship series. It's exciting. Yeah. It's interesting. Yeah. So then all of a sudden throwing a devastating wrench in that direction is like, oh no, you really hurt the one decent part of this game right now. Like, yeah. It is, oh man, what a twist. I don't know. I'm trying to be reformed Zoinks and realist Zoinks, you know, trying my best out here, but either way.
I mean, look, you're hopeful for the game though, because look, as frustrating as it is, it's still a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if you look at the microcosm on Twitter, you wouldn't believe that, but there are, I mean, as much as it's not got the greatest player base, like in terms of pure numbers, it's still good enough to still be running. You know, we haven't heard anything about the game shutting down recently. In fact, as I say, by the very actions of more stuff from the China version coming into the main version, it suggests that Timmy, at the very least, sees a long-term future. If I was to put the hat on, if I was to become Mr. Timmy, and I was thinking, how do I rejuvenate this game? I do exactly what chat is saying. You introduce the 500-point mode, whether it's as a separate queue with a ranked mode or whether it's just as a casual game mode, you do a season zero of sorts. You say, yo, this is the cool new thing. We're going to be moving forward with this. You can get some exclusive season zero awards before we relaunch the game as Pokemon Tonight or whatever you're going to call it. And then you go all in. You go all in on that 500-point mode.
Yeah.
And you say that it's something new, because I mean, look, I you know, play another game called Supervive, and it's in open beta right now.
First of many Supervive ads on the Overdone podcast.
This is going to be
no free shoutouts. We will be billing you.
This is going to be the one ad. So that's a game where there are so many people who are just doom post, dead game.
Uh-huh.
I'm sick and tired of it. There is so much to look forward to if the developers make the correct decisions. And I think that's where most of the fear comes from.
Yeah.
Is that there have been so many wrong decisions from Timmy over the past 3-4 years that we're stuck here saying, well, what are the chances? But there is still a small chance. And I like to believe as well.
No, and this is where I could try to be realist, but at the end of the day, I can only betray my nature so often. I am positive. Right, I am. Oh, we're so back. I do love this game. I've spent so much time and energy into the health of certain communities and aspects of this game. It's put a lot of part of my life into it, and I truly do like playing it. So at the end of the day, I am positive on it. And I know, Bridget, you feel the same. So I think it'll be...
For sure.
We'll be all right. But man, China version is so fun. So please.
Switch 2 shout, by the way, in chat from Dextro. Switch 2 chat is a great shout. That's a great shout for a relaunch window.
Yeah, who cares about the Switch players? Just go full mobile. All right.
Whoa.
And that is one point I won't turn around on. I love my mobile phone. Love my mobile device. Okay. I literally picked it up for 1 month, and I was like, I'm going to learn this. And then I, like, never went back. But okay. Shocking. We have more data mines to get to. The rest are of lesser consequence than a whole new rework of the game. But we do have two new held items. We have new stacking items, technically. We have the power bracer and power... Gauntlet?
Lens.
Great. Yeah. It's not gauntlet, but I'm going to try.
Power gauntlet? It's not like an item.
Man's trying to be Thanos out here with like...
okay. Yeah, no. All right. Fair enough. Basically, it works a lot like Dragapult's Phantom Force passive. Every time you get a kill, you do get a stack, and those can build up throughout the game. Very, very fun. Going to be like everyone's favorite central area item, right? Junglers are going to strap that thing on, be ready to go. It's going to be awesome. That's going to be a lot of fun. I don't know. I'm pretty positive on those items. Any more thoughts on the bracer and lens? I think I nailed it.
Yeah, I've crushed it.
Okay.
Nothing too strong of an opinion from my end. I just kind of like when we get new items, spice up some builds, hopefully, or become completely irrelevant.
One of the two.
We'll find out. We'll find out.
They've been doing okay, though, with their new items, right? Like, what are our most recent ones? Res Guard is
crazy. Roll Hacker?
Like, I mean,
okay, not their battle items. Not their battle items, but held items. Held items, I feel like they've done okay. I mean, Res Guard is everywhere, right? Like, Res Guard is very, very strong. The curse items were great additions and have been kind of mainstays. But battle items, yeah. Should Ninja Doll see niche use cases, maybe? Yeah, like
No.
Yeah, all right. And you're like the one Clefable player, Bridget, so maybe you'd be the one to try it. But
I did run it. I don't know. It can save you a little bit sometimes.
Yeah. Thank you, Mindtax. People just don't understand Shit Ninja. That's so true.
It's true.
That's so true. If people sat down and just had an honest-to-God conversation with Shit Ninja, we'd see a lot
more. He's really cute. He's really cute.
Yeah. He's more than just cute, you know? He's trying to bring so much. Okay. So, good stuff there. Are we done with the data mines? There's probably more that I'm, like, forgetting at this point in time. Mm. Am I forgetting
any small things? I don't think so.
Okay. I think we're good there. Let's
other than cosmetic stuff.
Oh, yeah. New battle pass, all that kind of stuff. Ho-Oh battle pass. That's kind of sick. Another Defender battle pass. So.
Yay. I'm so happy.
There's never going to be a support battle. Like, never once.
No.
And if it is,
not.
It's like Comfey. And they're like, you barely see it.
Yeah. Oh.
Maybe Hoopa. Right. Like, I think Hoopa. No, actually, Psyduck is your best bet. A Psyduck battle pass would go crazy, actually.
That's the most hope I've had in a while, for sure.
God, Psyduck battle pass would be insane. I would love it.
Get
him the streetwear one. Give him the same, like, Sarah Ledge treatment. Get him, like, the little spray paint can. And, like, maybe a bandana or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Here we go. I'm into it. Okay, cool. Okay, quick balance patch thoughts from last week. Is there anything other than Inteleon is good now? Again.
Ho-Oh.
Ho-Oh stonks. Okay.
Toon play it with no EXP share, new Knee Clash this weekend, and I was like, oh, we're back. They went triple tank, and it ruled.
He did that in not this last monthly, but the monthly prior. Right?
Yeah,
that was another
been known. Okay. I think so.
Known Ho-Oh user. Okay.
Yeah, like the one guy who kind of did it sometimes.
Okay, got it. So Battle Ho-Oh, a little more popular thanks to those Battle Pass changes. Inteleon Liquidation kind of feels back on the menu, especially with some more annoying speedsters. Points at Galarian Rapidash as a potential option. So definitely got a little more splashability. Anything else in the battle, in the patch that we think might be relevant for EUIC coming up?
Look, I could joke about the Cramorant buffs, but really the most interesting thing, the most interesting thing to me about this is not what's actually happened already. It's about what's happening next week at the time of recording.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to get Galarian Rapidash nerfs. The question
allegedly.
Is, how, allegedly, how much though? How much? Like, because here's the thing, right? You can go and have a tantrum on Twitter. If they gutted G-Dash before EUIC, that would mean that we wouldn't see G-Dash at EUIC. I still want to see this Pokemon, whether it's on the ban table or not. I want to see it there in some form represented. So I'd rather them take the extra week, figure out just how far they want to go, and then put, like, if they only like nerf it by 5%, then throw me in the bin, right? Like, that's garbage take, relic, don't trust him ever again. But I think that I'd rather take the extra week, have a better nerf, that means that it's valid for play, but is not going to be like too far past the mark where it ends up in where Cramorant and Duraludon have been for some time.
Interesting. Okay. Bridget, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not as hopeful it's going to be like a good nerf. Uh-huh. It does kind of like, it's almost I don't know if it's better or worse that they're like, hey, we know it's bad. Like, don't worry about it. Like, we're gonna do it. Like, trust us. Like, cause I'm like, okay, like I do kind of have relics like POV that's like, okay, well, it better be worth it then. Like, now that you've said something, make it worth my time that you caused all this drama.
Because yeah. honestly, that's
coming.
That's the conversation, right? Because, okay, I agree with a lot of people online in the discourse, what they were talking about. This seems like a pretty clear direction to be made. We don't want to nerf it as soon as it goes free to play. We don't want that to be the precedent. We don't want it to be broken while it's pay to play. And then when it goes free to play, then we nerf it. I do disagree with your point. I think they just ruined rank for another week. Like I talked a lot about how I was really frustrated with the rank experience right now, as I'm not getting draft games. Most of that frustration is that I'm not getting Galarian Rapidash in every game, and it is awful. Like that okay, we did a report card for that Pokemon, Bridget. I think we might need to retcon our first report card ever. We put the balance state at like C something. It needs to go down. That Pokemon is crazy.
I forget what we defined balance. It's like not balance.
Right. I think we were like, well, it's not Zacian release or Mewtwo Y release or something. And I think that still holds true. But I think like it should be at least a D. But
maybe
anyway,
a D minus.
Yeah,
okay.
D minus, like right. Not F, but bad.
That's the hard part about the balance one though, because it's like once you do hit draft, you are never gonna see that guy.
Sick.
Exactly. I hear you. I don't think I ever said that ranked wasn't balanced or wasn't fun. Mm-hmm. I agree. I actually completely agree. It's way too overpowered. Got to suffer with it for another week. But another thing that we have to, and I'm going to get real mundane here, is we also have to consider the fact that all of these patches have to be A-OK'd by like your Apple stores and your Google stores. And you can't just do that immediately. And so clearly Timmy wanted to be, allegedly, Timmy was looking to be, it's a powerful Pokemon on release, so on, so on, so on. And on top of that, we don't want to nerf it immediately after it goes off pay to play, because then it just looks like it is pay to win. And so having that weak gap, I think, does make sense. And I also feel like, they need to actually submit the changes first for all of this. So, I mean, we can't have it for the weekend, for example. We all know that all these updates go through, I think it's what, the Tuesday or the Wednesday or something along those lines.
Right.
That's the your apps update. So I think there is some, again, push the glasses up sort of nerdy reasons behind why it's been delayed to this point as well. But the bottom line is it shouldn't have been released in a broken state in the first place.
Yeah.
We're all sitting there saying this is going to be really, really, really powerful. And it was still released like that. So,
Yeah. I mean, to each their own. We can disagree on that point. That's fine. I see what you're saying about update timings and like having to get approvals and stuff like that. We have had emergency level fixes, but who knows how much those cost or in terms of operation, how that needs to happen for them. I don't know. But yeah, I'm just frustrated with the Pokemon. I think it's a fun Pokemon. I just wish it was fun to play with and tolerable to play against, I guess, is all I'm asking for. But oh, well, is what it is. Will it be relevant at USC? I think absolutely. They would have to absolutely smash that thing with the hammer for it to not be relevant at a USC in the banning phase. It'll definitely make it through bans at some point, like in some of the matches. So we'll see how it goes down.
And it'll be on land.
Yeah, that's interesting. Is that a Pokemon that necessarily gets better with less ping? I don't know.
I don't know. Do you go, your iframes go faster as you dash across the screen? I don't know.
You have infinite iframes on that Pokemon. Your shield never goes away anyways. but all right, cool. Okay, well, we are a solid 40 minutes into this podcast recording.
Nice.
And it is finally time to talk about the main subject of our podcast. Kind of, you know, extenuating things have made this podcast into more than just a event pre-show, but it is time to talk about EUIC, the next big event. It will be happening the same weekend as the Japan Finals for their playoffs for the Asia Champions League, for their franchise league, leading up to the actual LAN Finals, but for the sake of this episode, we are just going to be focusing on EUIC. Relic, you finally get to be doing an in-person show for this event. Oh, it's going to be so sick.
Yahoo!
It's going to be fun to have you in the booth, my guy. It's going to be awesome. Back at the Excel Center in London. It's going to be a heck of a show. Let's just do classic. What are we all pumped for at EUIC? Bridget, why don't you kick us off?
Oh man, I will not be in attendance. I will be not in London. So other than LAIC, which feels like it was forever ago at this point, I'm just kind of excited to watch another in-person event. I obviously love like the cup broadcasts and like getting to see all the different regions do their thing, but having kind of the first big competition of the West, I guess it, in the East as well, for like an in-person event. I guess Japan's finals will be the same weekend, so they're coinciding basically. Anyway, but that's only for Japan. So this is more teams and more people there. And I guess the thing I'm most excited for and hoping that it's still a thing, are the teams from China going to be there?
I have heard rumors that likely no, unfortunately.
Poop. Okay, well now I'm not excited.
No confirmations on anything, but the rumors I've been hearing is no.
Poop.
There are two Chinese teams that are supposed to be there, but it's having the ticket to go there and actually going, they're two different completely.
Right, yeah, and it's kind of soon, so I'm just excited to see another in-person event and kind of having the context now, because last time LAIC was like at the beginning of the season, so it's kind of like really like post-Worlds, like seeing where people are at. But now it's like, okay, we have a good amount of the season under our belt. Like, feels more of a rumble.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome. How about you, Relic? What are you excited for?
I mean, this event means a lot to me on a personal level, because it's my first LAN or in-person event in 6 years, and it's fair to say that those 6 years have been pretty trying. They've been pretty trying. So to be able to do this, and on top of that, it's in my hometown. I mean, that's kind of already made the event for me. I will undoubtedly have a bit of nerves going in, but I'm really excited to see everyone, really excited to cast everyone, really excited to see just how all the teams perform, you know, try and figure out for like just at the middle point of the season, how competitive the order looks on an international level. Of course, we don't have like your Japanese teams or any of your Asian teams like we had last year, which I think something, again, we hope that the Chinese teams will be there, but even if they're not, like, there's still a load of representation from a loads of different parts of the globe.
Yeah.
I'm just super pumped, super looking forward to it. And hey, maybe we'll see G-Dash there as well.
Oh, yes. That'd be cool. In terms of what I'm excited for about the event, I think you already both mentioned it, because I think it's the mainstay part of the event. It's our first big international. Obviously, LAIC was a bit of a teaser at the start of the season, but it felt like so close to Worlds that it was like, who knows, like, are these teams going to be all that different? But I mean, EUIC, the AOS Cup, of course, it really does feel like our version of MSI, which is just so exciting. I absolutely love that. The vibes in the EU events are always peak. Like, the EU Unite community is really, really fantastic. So fun to, like, hang out with, drink with, like, play video games with. So I'm very excited to be a part of that as well. So first and foremost, excited for the competition, of course. But second up, these events are turning, like, more and more into PokéCons every single IC that they are happening. And they're doing some pretty big swings in that. So watch out for some cool stuff on the broadcast to be looking forward to for a few different aspects of that, especially on Sunday. However, there's also, like, there's, like, official meet and greets happening now at the event. So, like, there's, like, content creators that are doing meet and greets. Obviously, Nouns Esports is trying to do, like, a meet and greet thing. Like, there is a, I don't know, there's a lot of really cool stuff happening at these events. So I'm excited to see, like, these events just getting bigger and growing more and more, which is awesome too. So big excited for that in general. But let's get down to the interesting competition stuff. Less predictions. We'll get to that in just a few minutes. But let's just sort of talk about the nuance of the event. A few storylines we got going in. Obviously, now known as Peru, then Fusion, are the reigning champs, and they are going to be in attendance again. Latin America South, they won the AOS Cup qualifier, so they got that paid trip out to London to be competing. from my knowledge, there's quite a few LATAM teams. I think we got Stamina and Hoenn-Plaga both competing as well. And then, of course, Dream Max is going to be in attendance and Toosie. So I think Toosie, the winner of the qualifier, and then Dream Max is coming out as well to compete for Brazil, which is going to be so fantastic. We got Nouns Esports recently dethroned in a monthly by G5. Like, and then, of course, we got a few North American teams. I think the big three are definitely going. We have Nemesis, Luminosity, and Orange Juicers. But I believe we do have teams like T3 in attendance. I believe YouTube is going as well. So a lot of just like fantastic competition to be talking about. Who do we think are like, not even our predictions to win the whole thing, but who do we think is like the community's, that's the favorite to win the tournament? Is anybody like you're not making the call, you're not like betting money on it, but like, who do you think like is the consensus to win? Chat, feel free to jump in as well. But let's start with you, Bridget. Who do you think's like community consensus?
Oh, that's such a hard one. I guess I'll probably say Noun, since it's okay. Like hometown favorite. Ender is so back, obviously.
Yeah.
Pretty popular guy, so maybe like have something to prove as a team now. Second is still super great for February Cup for Nouns, but obviously they were getting first before them, so they have high standards. So I don't know, maybe we'll show out in there.
Okay, yeah, they seem like an on paper good choice.
Yeah.
How about you, Relic? What are you thinking?
I think if you were to ask the EU community huffed up on Copium after seeing Toosie get to the finals of LAIC, Nouns Esports. If you were to ask anybody else in the world, Luminosity.
Okay. Yeah, I will agree with you that it does feel like a two-horse race going into this event. I will throw in Peru as well in terms of Team Fusion. Yeah. Again, repeat champions. And I just do think those players are truly different level on LAN. LAIC was a weird like underperformance for them. But, I mean, top four at the World Champions, the best performing Western team in the world. So, obviously, they have a history of being able to hang with the best of the best. So, I would call it a three-horse race. But I do think those are going to be most people's predictions coming out of it. Nouns with the popular vote, Luminosity Gaming maybe with the analyst vote, and then Fusion with the historical vote. I don't know. I'm really compartmentalizing too much here, but I think that's kind of how it breaks down. But okay, yeah, some really fun stuff. I can't wait for the actual event. These events are always super exciting. We get a lot of player personality in Unite, where like compared to the other titles, we just don't get as much, right? We get a lot of team shots and talking and saying words they shouldn't say or whatever, but a lot of like fun, you know, celebration and stuff that just doesn't happen in other games. And we don't get it often either, seeing as that our only in-person events are these big IC tournaments. So I absolutely just get fueled off that excitement that we see from the players and the crowd and everything. So general shout out to the EU crowd. You guys always show up and are always really excited and pumped to cheer on your team. So I really hope we get to see you play all weekend. Unite's going to be all 3 days again. So we will be on Championship Sunday, which is so sick. Early morning. Sorry, North America viewers.
Late at night.
Yes, or late at night. There you go. A little bit of Wonder Chef coming out of Bridget there. The schedule choice. Y'all doubt OJ every month? Yeah, honestly, Orange Juice is crazy, crazy good too. We'll see.
I mean, they've gotten second the past 2 months, so.
That is true. 4 a.m. Eastern gang. Oh, Land Dance, I'm so sorry.
Yay.
Yeah, also Yippee. Bridget. Yeah.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah, it's not tomorrow. Until I fall asleep and wake up, therefore it's early morning. Checkmate. I like that a lot. Okay, well, let's just get into some predictions, because I think that's the fun of the show. We obviously don't have like seeding or anything to really make a bracket out of and make predictions or anything like that, so let's just get right into the mix. Let's all pick what team we have winning EUIC AOS Cup in general. I think we went to Bridget first and last question. So Relic, are you comfortable giving your tournament champion team?
Indeed. Unite Season 1 World Championships, also held in the XL Center London.
True.
You had a big old win from a team called Black Hand, which throughout time has morphed into Luminosity. And admittedly, we're talking about a, you know, a different look Luminosity roster this time around.
Yeah. Not that different, but a different. Yeah,
not different, you might think.
But it's also a really good look.
Yeah,
Luminosity roster. Mm. I cannot see past them. I think it's back to back lands. Genuinely, they look incredible.
That's crazy.
Oh yeah, man. Back-to-back lands would be crazy. It would be like, well, almost a fusion-level performance from last year. Like, obviously, Luminosity Gaming is historically the most winning team of all time. Two world championships makes that a pretty easy stat to keep track of. But then you have, like, Fusion, who just simply could not lose a tournament, locally or abroad, which was really wild, too. So, we'll, yeah, they're, like, the close contention. But, okay, Luminosity Gaming for the victory here in the land. I like that a lot. How about you, Bridget?
Ugh, it's so hard just to pick one, but,
And remember, this can be a heart pick. This is not stats backing you up, you know? You can just pull from the hip.
Yeah, I mean, I'm struggling because I don't know if I want to save, like, my dark horse pick or not.
Okay,
but
fair, fair.
I mean, I just feel like the predictable ones are, like, what we said.
Yeah.
The LG, the Nouns, the Peru. But I am gonna, I guess, like, split my vote a little bit. Pretty much between Stamina and Hoenn. Like,
ooh,
I'm manifest. Last year was LATAM South Sphere, and now I'm like, it's LATAM North Sphere now.
Yeah.
Oh,
welcome to the fan club, Bridget. Welcome aboard. I'm the biggest LATAM North fan ever.
Hoenn showed up in a big, massive way at LAIC. I'm pretty sure they got, like, top four, kind of, like, ending some runs that they people probably weren't expecting them to run. And then Stamina just was the first team in LATAM North, kind of similar to Luminosity, getting the two-time cup win this past time in February. So I don't know. I'm kind of high on both those teams, and okay. I'm rooting for LATAM North this year. So
okay, man, love
that's
that
where
choice.
I'm at.
So behind that choice, I am. Yeah. That is funny. Oh wow. Okay, since no one picked it, I'm gonna make my prediction now. Let's do it. I have talked about the honeymoon phase in esports ad nauseum on this show, on main broadcast, because it has been a relevant thing in Unite. And yes, we already have one event with Ender on it and with Adesu role swapping, but for some reason, and this is going to go into a little bit of the meta predictions, I think. I think this is a Toon meta. I think we are entering Toon Slim meta. Like, scary levels. I think he has room to cook, but I also think he has room to just beat you on your best mon. I really do. I'm such a big Toon stan in terms of, like, one of the best players in the entire world. It's quite clear in me. So, I am going to be going with, Hounds Esports, and I'm going to start our next prediction, part of our conversation. Let's pick our tournament MVP. And I'm already going to lock it in. I'm going with Toon.
Okay.
Yeah, let's go back around the circle opposite way. Bridget, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I mean, if I'm going with Stamina, I guess I'd probably say Reggie. I feel like...
Love the choice. Big
he
Reggie
is,
fan.
Yeah. I mean, kind of like the speedster demon on LAN. It'll be a... You know, there's a lot of speedster demons on LAN, but... Mm-hmm. I'll manifest that for the team I picked.
Yeah. Are we going to see Comfey bans at this tournament? Like, I think we see Comfey bans on LAN, especially when we get to, like, best of five in the semifinals and grands.
Yeah,
like,
I bet we start to see,
like, people are like, okay, we got to stop this.
Like, actually, like, play Psyduck. Like, we don't play the Umbreon. Yeah.
Take Galarian Rapidash. I don't care. Just stop going zero Comfey,
like,
bro.
We can sacrifice.
Did nobody learn from NAIC?
Like, yeah. So you gotta switch it up.
Okay. I like it. Okay, MVP relic for you on Luminosity Gaming.
I'm gonna go for Otter.
Okay. The
Otter
support who doesn't
unlocked.
Pick supports. Let's go. Okay.
Hey, he was doing good in February Cup on the actual supports.
He was crushing. He was doing so well.
IMO.
I think Otter is criminally overlooked on Luminosity by your average fan, because I mean, we all like seeing the damage dealers, And we all like seeing the players who can make a huge impact on a game and turn it around on their own. Like, I mean, literally like your Reggies, like your Toon Slims, like your Overlords. Uh-huh. Like we trust that those players are going to do it, but I don't know. I've got a funny feeling about Otter and that he will show up in a huge way that will maybe get Luminosity over a hurdle, which without him, they wouldn't be able to. I'm thinking maybe a bit of a banana peel series.
Okay.
That Luminosity's on the cusp of losing, and Otter will be there to pick them up, calm everything down,
sick,
and make sure that they get it across the line. So, yeah, I'm going to pick Otter personally.
Okay. I like that a lot. I like that a lot. I mean, I think last tournament was one of the best cementing of, like, his trajectory this year that we could have had, right? Like, Bridget, you mentioned he was on normal supports and absolutely crushing. Like, it wasn't... Yes. It was clear...
Yeah,
it was clear that he was still a relevant factor to the team, even if he's got to play a little bit more standard, and he can allow players like Curios to flex a little bit more and have some more picks there. So, really, really cool. Love that. Good MVP. Good MVP. Did I pick my MVP? I don't think so. Oh, I said two. Yeah, I already started. Yeah. My bad. Okay, let's do Dark Horse team that we think can win the whole thing. I'll kick us off with this one. I am going to say my Dark Horse team to win the entire tournament is going to be Nemesis.
Ooh.
Nemesis, yes, with a legendary performance at last year's USC, the best performing team in Swiss Stage. Thank God we're not doing Swiss Stage ever again.
That's what the format was UIC after we did this prediction stuff, because I know it changed.
I knew it, and then I swear I'm just not confident in it, but I am almost 100% sure that it'll just be like what LEIC was. No, that was groups. Yeah, it might just be what LEIC was.
Oh, we might do groups.
Maybe? I don't know.
They'll probably tell us.
I am like...
Yeah. We should know.
I don't know what it is.
Sure that we're using the format as LEIC? I'm pretty sure. Because the thing about groups is that you can still sort them out even if you have teams that need to drop out.
Right.
And then that feeds
in. Yeah, it could be like the big ones.
It's like the top 12 bracket then.
Yes. And I'm not sure on this, but I'm pretty sure there will be more setups and equipment, so there won't have to be best of ones on day one. I'm really hoping that we don't have to do best of one group stage. It's such a ridiculous concept in our game, but who knows? Honestly, the group stage at LAFC, results-wise, it worked out fine. Like, I don't think there was any team that needed to be into the bracket that wasn't. So,
yeah.
But whatever. That's a whole other conversation for a different day. Hopefully we see it. But anyway, Nemesis, last year, absolute demons in Swiss, 5-0, so well that they finished the tournament too quickly, and we had too many delays on the main broadcast, so they just joined the desk with Spraggles and Dupes next to hang out for a while. I think Asnable and Yeet Fan just, like, went up there and were doing commentary for a while, which was sick.
That's so silly.
Love it. Absolutely love it. I think they could have a really cool performance. Obviously, Rex back out of retirement for the 45th time or so. So excited to see the gang back together again a little bit. And a team that made a big splash at last year's the UIC. So I think could do it again. How about you?
They picked up Vin Diesel as well.
Oh, yeah. Unfortunately, they got Vin Diesel on a Garchomp nerf patch, but he's got other mons. I actually do think Seralege is going to be demon this tournament, but
I thought Vin did really good in Pokemon Cup. Yeah. So
also, isn't Vin like low key like a crazy good Cramorant player?
Unless... we are in the Vin Diesel patch.
It is a Vin Diesel patch. Okay, great. Let's go. I have to admit, I'm not as familiar with this hero pool, but I think it's like a weird one.
Same.
So,
yeah.
I'm not mad about it. Bridget, Dark Horse team of the tournament.
Oh, I was looking at, see if I could find the EUIC format. I forgot to think of one. Okay. I think, my heart wants to pick a Brazil team, but I don't know which Brazil team to pick because they have a different winner every time. And this past time, it was a team that literally beat all the other three teams that had won.
They
had like a gauntlet. It was like, I don't know what's going on over there. So I can't pick just one. It's too hard.
Fair. Sorry, Brazil.
Sorry, guys. I really wanted to. I think my dark horse is going to be Komai Esport from EU.
Shout out to Gecko Kami personally. Let's go.
Yes, yes. Actually, yeah, they looked pretty good, I thought, okay. In February Cup. I know that was kind of their first, I guess, bigger splash lately. Mm-hmm. I mean, they got top six in January Cup, but, you know, third is better than six. So, so you gotta kind of look at the numbers a little bit.
As a graph, they're killing it.
I agree. So, I'll go with Komai. I actually was pretty into their gameplay from February. So, I'm really locking into the EU home advantage, even though I kind of believe in the home turf curse that we have so far. But
that's funny.
Wait, we'll see.
Have any of us picked an EU team either to win? Oh no, I picked an EU team to win. Okay, we're good. We're good. We're
yes,
good. We're covered. It's fine.
We have to. We have to put respect on Europe.
Yeah. Hey, I respect Toonsland. All right, Relic. Go ahead. How about your Dark Horse team?
So here's the thing. Everybody's kind of stolen my answers. Okay. I was going to pick Stamina for my Dark Horse win.
I think you could pick Stamina as your Dark Horse win. Though.
And if I wasn't going to pick Stamina, then I would have picked Nemesis for my Dark Horse win.
Dang.
And if I wasn't going to pick Nemesis, then I would have picked Dreamax for my Dark Horse win. And so we're kind of just like running out of answers to try and make it a little bit different.
True.
So here's what I'm going to say. First and foremost, I like the Komai shout. I think my one problem with Komai is that for those who are uninitiated with EU, you'll see what are they called now? It's not Rezu. It's like you see a Leorio and you see it's basically Nachos and Leognus. So they are officially now in the UCS pool, both on the same team. So excited about the rest of the year for them. I just think LAN is going to be a little bit intense.
Too young, too new. Sure. Okay.
I think that the LAN's going to get to them. So I'm actually going to say for my Dark Horse pick to win, Gen 5.
Okay. Honestly, good one.
Yeah.
So Gen 5 is a really interesting story because they looked all right, but they also looked distinctly like the second best team in EU forever. I really liked Qatar. I thought that in terms of a starting rookie season, looked pretty strong. And then to replace him with Sereyu was wild. Like there were so many. What is Megu going full defender? Is Sereyu going to try and rotate? No, what they've actually done is they've got Megu, Yutao, and Sereyu all rotating into that defender all-rounder role. So they've actually got a lot of flexibility within how they build a team comp. Obviously, they go on and win their first tournament of the year, beating Nouns. Question marks, was Indo rusty? Does it matter? Did they still look good enough? I think they have room to grow. I think that they'll have the home crowd, behind them. And for Yutao especially, he has already earmarked this as his last season. And so I think that the idea of going out with a LAN under his belt as well, look, don't bet against Gen 5s. I think they have the opportunity to clutch up in a lot of scenarios. So I'll go for them.
I love that pick. Also, don't bet against Unite people sticking to their retirements. So...
It's just so far in advance.
Honestly, if you're planning it that far in advance, maybe. Who knows? you're right. Okay, cool. So we got our team predictions out there. We got our MVPs, our dark horses. Let's get a few Pokemon related ones. So let's start things off. Let's start with ban. Why not? It's the top of the draft screen, is it not? Let's go with the highest banned Pokemon, percentage wise. Throughout the entire tournament, the Pokemon with the highest ban rate. I started on the last one. Relic, you were last to go, so Relic, you can start. Your pick for most banned Pokemon.
If Galarian Rapidash is not nerfed enough, Galarian Rapidash.
Okay.
If Galarian Rapidash is nerfed enough, Blissey.
Okay, Blissey is a good vouch. I like that, Bridget.
I
guess we could just go non-Galarian Rapidash for all
yeah,
of this,
sure.
for
all these predictions. Pick something other. Like I agree in what both of what Relic said, but I'll try to pick something different.
Okay.
I do feel like it'll be a support or a tank. I'm just trying to decide which one. I honestly think Psyduck is still ban worthy.
Okay.
to be honest.
Even after the nurse. So, all right, fair enough.
I'll say duck.
Okay. Well, I'm going to do the support and the tank. I think Umbreon is going to have the highest ban rate throughout the
tournament.
I'm going to stick with that one. Okay, let's go highest pick rate. So most commonly picked Pokemon throughout the entirety of the event. Day one and day two and day three, I guess, included. I'm going to start this one off, and I'm going to say... I'm going to go with Hoopa. I think Hoopa will be the most picked Pokemon throughout the entirety of the event. Bridget?
Inteleon, period.
Ooh, Inteleon, okay.
I think it's... I mean, I didn't watch a ton of Unity Clash over the weekend, but people were first picking Inteleon.
It's
I was
the truth.
Like,
it's good.
I'm like, dang, they really hate Maridon, or they really like playing Inteleon.
fair. Okay. Relic.
Most picked.
You know what?
I'm going to go Psyduck.
Whoa! Okay.
It'll escape
the bans.
I'm putting the chips down on it'll slip through ban phases more often than you'd expect.
Okay, very cool.
I could see that for sure.
All right. Okay, interesting. We got a flip side of the coin there. All right, and the final one, the highest win rate Pokemon on the event.
I don't know.
Okay, I've started one some. Relic has started some. Bridget, let's start with you for this one.
Oh, no. I was going to ponder.
Okay, you can ponder. We can go to Relic. Relic, do you have a pick for the highest win rate Pokemon on the weekend?
I have a question, mister. Is it going to be across every single station, or is it just on?
It'll be across every station. So day every one, two, station. And three included. I know the stat guy. I'll make sure I get the stats. Every station, all 3 days.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm gonna back my boy, Aegislash.
Aegislash.
I like that a lot.
I like that a lot. Also, should we add like a minimum of 5 games played?
I was going to say, because otherwise you get meme picked like Phalanx or something.
Hey, yeah, Charizard 1-1, let's go.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll do 5 games. I feel like 5 games played, it's still not enough, but it'll work for this prediction.
Enough.
Okay, so you're going with Aegislash. I love that pick, but mostly just because I like Aegislash. But Bridget, how about you?
I will go with Hoopa.
Hoopa, the highest win rate. Dang, okay.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll
see. I like that. I just think it's going to get picked a lot, which tends to bring it closer to the middle. You know what I mean?
The median. Yeah, that's true. I was hoping it would get banned, and then if people were picking and they were winning with it, that would be the point of the pick. But yeah.
Fair. Okay, there's a couple that I'm gravitating towards. First and foremost, might be Zorark. I think
that's smart.
I think Zoro players pick it when they know they're gonna win, and then they tend to win. So you kind of have to
play it like you're gonna win.
But I'm gonna actually go with the other option I had, and I'm going to choose Espeon as the highest win rate Pokemon on the event.
I don't think it's gonna have a high pick rate. Espeon.
I know. Me too. I think Stored Power Espeon is going to be freaky levels of good in this tournament. It's like kind of my sleeper poke. Not really a sleeper. It's kind of a sleeper. I feel like the metagame is so open. Defining sleepers is a little difficult. The metagame is like open, but there's a lot of just standard picks, which is interesting. More so the game is a little solved-y, I guess. I don't know. It's difficult to actually define. But anyway, I'm going to say Espeon as my highest win rate selection. We'll see, though. We'll see. But okay. I think... Y'all, we have finally crossed the finish line. Honestly, not too far over an hour in terms of the recording. So, not the worst of things. But hey, we made it to the end of our episode. We've talked about literally everything Pokemon Unite under the sun. So, if you were watching this in Future Land on YouTube or anything like that, please, in the comment section below, let us know, of course, again, what you want Pokemon Unite 2 to be called. No, I'm just kidding. Don't do that one.
keep going. Engagement,
baby.
Not tonight.
Let us know your thoughts on the new 500 point mode coming to our global version of the game, and then of course let us know who you think is going to be the champions of EUIC. And I think all of our commenters are fans of Ender, so let us know why Ender is going to be the MVP. But
God.
Either way, awesome. I think it's going to bring us to the end of the episode. Relic, anything you want to plug before we bounce out of here? Feel free to plug SuperVive. I know we said no free shout-outs, but the stage is yours. Feel free, actually, sell out, shout out, whatever.
Actually, I'm gonna plug Overdunk, your home for all of your competitive Unite news and discussion. I think that you guys do such incredible work on this podcast. I've been watching for like years now at this point. Delighted to be on at last. Please keep doing what you're doing. It's wonderful. Otherwise, I'm on socials at Just Relic. Yeah, much love to all of you. Can't wait to see you all in London.
Aw. Good guy, go
so
follow
nice.
Him.
That was so nice.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Aww.
And play Supervive or whatever. Yeah.
I guess. If it'll make him happy.
All right, Bridget, how about you? Anything to plug?
Not really.
Co-stream? Co-stream angle at a USC?
I'm very tempted. I'll think about it. The timing is rough, but it would be really fun. I really enjoyed Watch Partying Worlds last year. That was honestly a freaking ball. So awesome. Would love to do it again, especially since during LAIC I was in a cabin in the woods. So
right.
We have more opportunity this time. So we'll see. I'll try.
The reason for that, still an Overdunk mystery, by the way. No idea why she was in a cabin in the woods. Okay.
We had been planning it for months. It was a very
planning
normal
for
reason.
Months. Okay. final plug for me is Dexter already said it in the chat. Thank you so much, Dextro. But yeah, you can watch the EUIC official pre-show on twitch.tv/Pokemon Valentine's Day, February 14th at 1 p.m. Pacific. So if you're watching this tonight or tomorrow, you might have the chance to tune into that. It's really fun. I've gotten to do these a few times now for ICs and Worlds and things like that. As a lifelong, like, competitive Pokemon fan, I love VG, TCG, and Go. It's really fun to be on these like kind of collaborative shows and talk about everything that competitive Pokemon has to offer, and you get to see me preach the good word of Pokemon Unite to a bunch of, you know, Go, TCG, and VG fans. So it's always a good time. Go tune in there. I always do a fun whiteboard bit like I do on every show now. I gotta find a new bit, but anyway, I usually use the whiteboard. Okay,
it's good though.
All right, well, this is going to be goodbye for probably a couple of weeks. We're not, our next episode is going to be post-EUIC, and including travel times and things like that, it might be a little bit longer. There is a tiny, 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 tiny chance we do some, like, interview content at EUIC and smack it into an episode on the feed. Who knows? But otherwise, we will see you all when we see you, I guess. So thank you so much for tuning into Overdunk, and we'll see you all next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.